The title of this message is Keep Asking, Keep Seeking, Keep Knocking. And it's about prayer. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. We've been working through the Sermon on the Mount, and I've gained a great appreciation for this signature message of Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to realize that as we're getting toward the end of the message, toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus is summing things up. He's coming to a close, and he's summarizing the information. He's helping his disciples and the people that are listening to understand what it's all about. And it's important not to simply take a verse here and take it out of context, but it's important to see that verse within the context of the whole message of the Sermon on the Mount. So we're at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. And Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And he who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." So Jesus is getting to the end of this message, the Sermon on the Mount, and he is summing things up. He's telling us what to ask for. He's telling us what these are the things that he's emphasized. These are the things that we're to seek for. These are the things that we are to patiently knock on his door for. The same passage in Luke chapter 11, after Jesus taught on the Lord's Prayer, and then it shares, Jesus shared the parable of the persistent and the bold friend. And this friend had a friend that came to visit him. And this other friend went to another friend, went to his house about midnight, and knocked on the door and said, "I need to set something before my friend that has come to visit. I need 3 loaves of bread." And his friend said, "I can't get up. I'm in bed. I'm in bed with all of my children. It's night out. What are you doing knocking on my door at midnight?" All right, anyone who has children, I'm sure Lisa and Dave don't want to wake up Sarah in the middle of the night as she's sleeping peacefully. And so he didn't want to wake up all his children. But Jesus said in Luke 11:8, "I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend," he won't get up for that reason, "yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." God is much more desirous of answering our requests than even our best friend is. Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." Ask, seek, and knock. In the Greek, these are in what is called the present imperative. It has a connotation of continuous asking, continuous seeking, continuous knocking. An imperative sentence gives a command. It makes a request. It's a command that is given. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you." This asking is not demanding, but it's not passive either. It's an active asking. We don't have an attitude that so many have where my life is just up to fate. Whatever is going to happen to me will happen to me. Fate is in charge. But there's a continuous asking and seeking and knocking. It's asking in a courteous way. Jesus is teaching us, his children, how to ask. just like a father and a mother teach their children how to ask and what to ask for. Just like when Joshua was asking this morning for a snack right after he ate a donut for breakfast. He told him, no, now is not the appropriate time for a snack. But Jesus teaches us as His children, even as we're growing up, even as we're asking, even as we're seeking, even as we're knocking. He used that whole process because, as we can see, Lena, we've been praying for maybe a couple months that she would get this job. She's getting a job. Now the Lord is... God teaches us through that process. Just like parents teach their children. God, the Father, teaches us even through that process of we're going through that continuous asking and seeking and knocking. God teaches us, His children, through that process, just like a parent teaches her children through the process of her child asking for things and seeking for things and that knocking. That seeking is persistent searching. The knocking is not barging into the house, and yet it's not giving up. It's continuous knocking. It's active knocking. It's a father teaching us how to be good children. Teaching us how to ask, how to pray, what to ask for. The Ezos in the video series Growing Kids God's Way, they share a vehicle called the interrupt rule. It's a way to honor parents. It's a way to honor age. The Bible doesn't specifically teach the interrupt rule, but it's a way to show biblical principles. For children, when they want to ask their parents something, to not just barge into a conversation and a parent is having a conversation with another adult and they just barge in and start clamoring and start asking for something. But they teach the interrupt rule to come up and just tap on their mommy or their daddy's hand. And then the mommy or the daddy squeezes their hand. And what that means to the child is that when there's an opportune time, I will stop my conversation and I will give my attention to you. But you need to wait patiently until that time comes. And then at the right time, not too long, excuse me, may I talk with my child? And you talk with your child. The interrupt rule. Not barging in, but knocking. That continuous knocking. God is teaching us to be an obedient child that is patiently persistent. An obedient child that is patiently persistent. He's teaching us prayer that is persistent, where we do not give up. Jesus told the parable of the unjust judge and the persistent widow. And the introduction to the parables in Luke 18:1, it says, then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And in this parable, the widow wanted justice against her adversary. Well, there was this judge in this town that was not a just judge. He didn't fear God. He didn't worry about doing what's right. He didn't care about people's situations. He was just an unjust judge. He wasn't a good judge. But this widow was persistent and kept bothering him to grant her justice against her adversary. And the judge for some time refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God, even though I don't care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. God wants us to be persistent in prayer and not give up. These scriptures tell us that God doesn't always give us things like this. He teaches us, His children, through that process of prayer and continuous asking, continuous seeking, continuous knocking, and being persistent. If I could tell a story about my wife. She grew up in a family that was not a Christian family. In fact, her mother was a very clear atheist. And my wife is the second to the youngest. Tessie's the youngest. And they put their older children into a English-speaking school. Well, if I have it right, they started getting maybe teased and things like this. Bullied, would that be too strong of a word? Your oldest sisters. And they didn't like that. So then they started making other arrangements for the younger half of their six children. And they put them in a Christian school. It started out as a missionary school. And for years, Sylvia's mom would say, that was the biggest mistake I ever made in my life, putting you guys into a Christian school. She would make that very clear. The biggest mistake I ever made in my life. Well, Sylvia became a believer in that Christian school. She responded to the Lord and received the Lord as her personal Savior and Lord. And about the age of 10, at a chapel, through a chapel speaker, God just laid a burden upon Sylvia's heart for her mother's salvation. At the age of 10, that she would pray for her until she would become saved. And then later on in life, I would say, maybe toward the end of your teenage years, early 20s, the Lord gave you a word about praying that God would soften her heart. Is that correct? Oh, it was right then. Okay. But the Lord gave her a word to pray that God would soften her heart. She was a clear atheist. That God was soft. She realized from a chapel speaker, I believe, that her mom's heart needed to be softened. And she prayed for 14 years, that prayer, that God would soften her heart. And eventually she started praying that, Lord, do whatever you got to do to soften her heart. Do whatever you have to do. And it turned out that she ended up getting cancer. And when things come into a person's life, I've heard from Mr. Duty, Dan Duty, that when you're faced with terrible circumstances, really what comes out in those circumstances is what comes out that's what's inside of you. My friend has been in a number of plane situations where planes were going down. And he tells me that in those situations, people don't cry out to God. You hear cursing and vulgarity and all kinds of things coming out of people's mouths. It's what in them is what comes out. And the natural reaction that would have been for Sylvia's mom is for her to get angrier and bitter. But we saw an opposite dynamic occur where her heart became softened. And we could see this. There was a point in time in which Sylvia was away and I had to it was just a spontaneous thing, help out with her mom, and we just spontaneously, just together, I was just holding her on her bed and just praying the Lord's Prayer with her. And we were weeping together. We saw her heart soften. And Sylvia had the opportunity to pray with her to receive the Lord as her personal Savior before she died. And she received Jesus. That persistent prayer, that confident prayer, Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need to not forget to pray. That's something the Lord has been really impressing upon me lately, that any time I can come before His throne of grace and lift up my request directly to the Lord, whatever the matter may be, and ask Him, whatever that area may be. Verse 8, Matthew 7, verse 8. Jesus says, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Again, Jesus is coming to the end of his sermon. In this sermon on the Mount, in this message, he's emphasized the life that we're to live. He shared the Beatitudes of life. He shared Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see the kingdom of God. He shared what it means to be salt and light in the world. He shared how true righteousness is from the heart. It's not just the external matter, but it starts in the heart. He shared secrets of life, such as the freedom of forgiveness and forgiving others and being able to experience God's forgiveness. He shared that we're to store up treasure in heaven. He shared that we're not so much to ask, Lord, meet all my needs, meet all my wants, but we're to have a singular focus of seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then He will take care of everything else. He will give everything we need. He shared all these things. And so he's now coming to the end of his message. And he's saying, this life is ours with its attendant qualities if we will ask for them, if we will seek for them, if we will knock for them with boldness, with persistence, and with sincerity. These are the things that he's calling us to ask for. He's teaching us, his children, what we're to ask for, just like a parent teaches her child what to ask for and how to ask. He's teaching us, his children, that these are the things that they're asked, that you're to ask for. And with God, all things are possible. Jesus in Matthew 17:20 said, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there. And it will move. Nothing will be impossible with you. Now we like to say, you know, move this mountain. This is really talking about spiritual mountains in our lives. These tremendous obstacles that we can sometimes have in our lives. I've seen God move mountains. If I could share about Mark a little bit. Mark is a mountain of a man anyway. Mark Galley back here. And a few years back, he'd say, I need to talk with you. And he would talk with me. After church, we would talk. And he would share with me some of the mountains that were in his life. And I have to admit, I realized that he was in very serious situations. It wasn't so much mountains as holes that were dug, and he was like trying to scramble and get out of these holes that he was trying to get out in his life. Well, over the years, it's been three and a half years, I've been blessed to see him become a United States citizen. Actually, was at the ceremony. Became a proud United States citizen. I've seen him get a very good job, and now he's married, and things are looking up. These are spiritual mountains that God moves in our lives. God is not a slot machine. Sometimes you wonder, why didn't God take care of that for me? Why didn't I receive it like that? God teaches us, his children, through that process of asking and seeking and knocking. If God gave us everything just like this, we'd be spoiled children. But God wants us to grow through that. God wants us to pray with sincerity. Let's turn to James chapter 4. Not with wrong motives, but with sincere motives. Sincere prayer. James chapter 4, verse 1. It says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. The word for desires here is hedonon. Hedonon. It has to do with pleasures. It relates to having a hedonistic lifestyle, a life in pursuit of pleasure. We need to ask God. We also need to ask God with the right motives. Prayer is not for our desires. Prayer is not for our pleasure. We can't use God to satisfy our personal pleasures. The purpose of prayer is that we become strong disciples of Christ, that we learn the keys of the kingdom, everything that the Lord has shared in this message, that we learn these keys, we learn these secrets, and these things help us to become strong disciples of Christ. This is what we want as disciples of Christ. This is what we're asking for. This is our goal. This is our purpose. And so prayer is not for the purpose of satisfying our personal pleasures, but prayer is for the purpose of helping us to become strong disciples of Christ and live the way the Lord is teaching us in His Word. But when we ask God for the things of God, God wants us to grant those things. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 7. Jesus says, "If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you." Claude on Wednesday night was sharing about how he's getting the word in him. And he's asking God to lay upon his heart opportunities to share with others, to minister to others. And as the word has gotten in him, God is doing that. God is bringing to his attention things that he can do to bless others. Well, it says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be granted to you." My words remain in you. When God's word is within us, God grants us these things. It's God's word that he's after. Go back one chapter to John chapter 14. John 14 verse 12. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing." Will do what Jesus has been doing. "He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for me, for anything in my name, and I will do it." And so prayer that advances everything that has to do with the name of Jesus Christ. In Old Testament times, the name was very, very important. The name had everything to do with the person of that name. It described that person's character. And so when we ask for things in Jesus' name, everything that has to do with his character, everything that has to do with who Jesus is, everything that Jesus is teaching us in this Sermon on the Mount, when we ask for these things, "Lord, help me to seek you first. Help me to have a singular focus to seek you. Lord, help my heart to be pure. Lord, help me to be salt and light. Help me to make an impact on the people around me." God wants to grant these things. Ask, seek, and knock. It's a positive message. God desires to grant our requests. John 1:12, Jesus said, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." If you are seeking Christ, if you are seeking his face, if you are seeking to please him, you can be assured that Jesus receives you, that he affirms you, that he delights in you, that he will in no way cast you out or condemn you, that he will grant these things. He wants you to become a strong disciple of Christ. You need not doubt. Christ receives you as a child. We are so loved. Love is God's motivation to do what he did. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is something that God gives us. He gives us eternal life. And that eternal life is not just for eternity, but that's in the present. That life is fellowship with him. That's a relationship with him. That's something that God gives us right now. Fellowship with God is life. And so, if you're thinking, "I don't have this life," ask him for it. Seek him for it. Knock for it. God has this life for you. He desires to grant us this life. He desires to grant us fellowship with him. He desires to grant us the keys to the kingdom. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. Jesus is teaching us how to be his children, just like a parent teaches her child. Verse 9, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Now, I'm not a big shopper, But I wouldn't say Sylvia's a big shopper either. I mean, I don't have to worry about the credit card and stuff like this. But she likes to shop more than I do. And she loves to give her children gifts. She knows much more than I do what our children want for a gift, say at Christmas time or birthday. And she desires to give her children good gifts. She has a desire to give them what they want. And that's a natural desire that parents have. What parent would give their child a stone? What parent would give their child a snake? What parent would do such a thing? Parents love their children. Parents may be indulgent, but parents wouldn't do this. Parents may play a fun game. I'm always doing the thing with my children. Do you see that thing on the wall? And I try to steal their food, you know, but they're very wise to it. You know, I'm always trying to steal my kids' food because I'm always hungry, trying to eat, you know. We were at Wendy's one time recently. You got to hear this. We were at Wendy's, and there was a policeman there. And I was doing my typical thing. And we had gotten, maybe shakes or McFlurries, but I guess you don't get McFlurries at Wendy's. But, you know, these kind of ice cream things. And so I was trying to steal all my kids', you know, shakes. You know, can I have a sip here? And, you know, can I have a spoonful of your McFlurry and stuff like that, and just like I normally do. And then the policeman came over. And he got out his handcuffs. And I went like this. He didn't actually put them on. I went like this. And he said, "Here I'm trying to steal my kid's food." And he was going to put the handcuffs on me and arrest me for stealing my kid's food. And then he went over and talked to Joshua. And Joshua's right here and the policeman's right here. Joshua's like, he definitely had that respect for authority. The other kids are having a good time, but Joshua was like that. You know, we may play a fun game with our kids, but we're never going to trick them maliciously. A parent is not like that. And if we, as sinful human beings, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good gifts to us, His children? We need to remember to pray. This is how we ask for the gift. We ask for the gift through prayer. Asking is praying. Seeking is praying. Knocking is praying. To call out to God for His good gifts. And these good gifts are spiritual gifts. What gifts do we receive? What blessings do we receive as part of God's kingdom? We receive the promise of the Holy Spirit in Luke, the same passage, the same account. Luke brings out, he says in verse 13, Luke 11:13, he says that Jesus said, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" The gift of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, a senior in high school at a men's retreat. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit through asking and receiving by faith. A group of men came around me, laid their hands on me, and I prayed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith. The thing I remember afterwards is I just had this increased love to worship the Lord. I love to worship the Lord. I love worshiping the Lord with you here. I think every Sunday morning we should come and just anticipate and look forward to worshiping the Lord together with everything we have. Seeing these children up here, being like little children. It's a great thing to worship the Lord in freedom. Nothing holding back. Worshiping the Lord. What are the benefits of the Holy Spirit? The name of the Holy Spirit is Parakletos. It means one who is with us. One who comes alongside us. One who helps us. He's an ever-present help. He's the counselor. He can give us the gift of tongues for our personal edification. He gives us the gift of prophecy for the edification of the body. He leads us. He guides us. The Holy Spirit is a great gift. In John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus refers to the coming Holy Spirit at that time. John 7:37. He says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So right now we have it because Jesus has been glorified. Anyone who believes in him, streams of living water, that refers to the Holy Spirit, that fresh water that brings cleansing, that brings life, that rolls down the river and it's refreshing. That's the Holy Spirit that God gives us. He's a promised Holy Spirit, a great gift. In Acts 1:4, Jesus instructed his disciples. He said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised." The Bible says those who wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Prayer involves waiting. Asking involves waiting. Good children learn how to wait. God calls us to be good children and be able to wait, even as we're praying. Those that wait upon the Lord. He said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." John 14:16, Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." That's the promised Holy Spirit. Counselor in the Greek means a person summoned to one's aid, a helper, a teacher, a guide, a director, ever present, someone who nudges us. That's what Claude was sharing about. He's asked for this from the Word of God, and now the Holy Spirit is doing it. God is answering his prayer. God is nudging him to do a good thing for someone. He leads us. He transforms us, the Holy Spirit does. He makes us more like Christ. He gives us the fruit of the Spirit. He gives us the power to do what he's called us to do. John 14:26, Jesus said, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." That's what the Holy Spirit does. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus does not give as the world gives. Even sometimes us as parents, we're not perfect. We are human. We are sinful creatures. God does not give his children the way we give our children. Even though we know how to give good gifts to our children, God is different. He teaches us in the process. True peace is not simply a lack of conflict. It's God's peace amid conflict. It's assurance in God. It's the peace of shalom that's said in the Aaronic blessing in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. We're kept by the Holy Spirit. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. We have his grace. The Lord turn his face toward you. That's in effect that God is smiling upon us and give you peace. Shalom. It's the Father heart of God to bless his children. In the process of prayer, asking, seeking, knocking, the time that goes on there, the trial that we're enduring through that time of asking, seeking, and knocking, until God brings that answer to fruition. Hebrews 11 says that all these people were living by faith. They did not receive what was promised. This is the hall of fame. This is a hall of spiritual fame in Hebrews 11. All the way down through the history. It was only with us that they received what is promised. What is God doing through that time? While we're waiting for him to answer our prayers. While we're asking and seeking not. What he's doing is he's teaching us, his children. He's training us, his children. He has an objective. Our objective may be to get what we want. His objective is for us to become strong disciples of Christ. That's his objective. That we would rely upon Christ. That we would depend upon him no matter what. He has an objective as a parent. He can see everything. He's our Father. And through that process of going through whatever we're going through and that asking and seeking, knocking, he is growing us up as his children. Let's all stand for prayer. I'd like us to bow our heads in prayer. And I'd like you to think, what do I want? What do I want to ask God for? Think of the various items in the Sermon on the Mount. What do you want to persistently ask God for? What do you want to boldly come before His throne of grace to seek? What do you want to keep knocking on His door for, being patiently persistent? What do you want? Maybe God wants to work purity in your life. Maybe you want purity in your life. Maybe you want to see God. Maybe you want humility. Maybe you want to be able to walk in better relationships with the important, with the people that are close to you in your life. Maybe you want to pray a prayer like Claude prayed recently to, Lord, help me to be aware of other people's needs and be sensitive to that. Lord, help me to be salt. Help me to be light. Lord, help me not to just have an external righteousness, but help me to have the righteousness in the heart. Lord, release me from this hatred. I seem to have this hatred towards someone. Lord, help me not to hate that person. Lord, help my thoughts to be honoring to you. Lord, help me to have a secret relationship with you. Help me to have a relationship with you, Lord. Help my prayer life to be honoring to you. What do you want to pray for? Lord, help me to be able to forgive. Help me not to judge others. Lord, help me to want to store up treasure in heaven more than wanting to store up treasure on this earth. Lord, help me to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Help that to be more important to me than even you putting bread on my table. Help my focus to be you, Lord. God desires to grant us these things. I just encourage you right now to take a moment to pray, just you and the Lord, to ask Him for something. Ask Him for something. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you desire to grant us these things. We thank you, Lord God, that you are a great Father. And that you are teaching us, you are training us, you are discipling us, even through the asking process, even through the seeking process, even through the knocking process, even through the process of prayer, even through going through our trials, that you are raising us up as your children and growing us up. And we thank you for that, Lord, even amidst the trials, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.